Hallelujah for that blood. Did it for us. Something I never get over. What he went through for us, for me. Praise his blessed name. He's worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. Had a good service this morning. That's another time. It's another afternoon. So praise the Lord. Bless the night also and preaching the word of God. Brother Craig, you come preach to us.
We're going to go up here, brother, and my wife and I are going to sing a song tonight. And y'all don't put your fingers in your ears, amen? And my wife and I are going to sing a song tonight that, you know, today we went out to eat with Brother David Cranfield, and what a blessing that was, and to be with him and his dear wife. And, of course, Brother Dave, he has bitterness in his heart towards me, amen, because I told him, I said, when I was bus director at Gospel Light here, I said, Brother Dave, could you drive a bus just one Sunday for me? Amen. And that lasted about 10 years, amen. Leslie over there, he was driving bus before he even joined the church, amen. And we had put him to work, amen. And but God's been good. But you know, my sweetheart here has been through a lot in her life. Y'all know Lydia, and of course you know that how God, you know, she was married to Rick. Rick was a great man. He was a great man, Brother Rick. I wish I'd have gotten to know him better, you know. And I wish I'd known Rick better, but Lord took him home. Of course, Lydia, you know, she went through, they had a gas explosion in her house, and then through the years, and then they, of course, her dad died. And the very same week, while she was preparing her dad's funeral, her mama died. And she had a side-by-side funeral with her own mom and dad that were godly people, loved the Lord. And then her sister got sick and ended up, she was eat up with cancer, and my wife lost her sister. And then 8 months later, I believe it was, that Rick was diagnosed with cancer, and he died with cancer like 8 months after that. And God took him home. And of course, y'all know the story about my wife, Bonnie. And today, Brother David and his wife, we were there eating, and had the privilege of witnessing to our waitress there, a little girl there, and I ended up leading her to Christ. Amen. And after she got saved, this is what she said. She said, you know, and I told her about Lydia and I, how God had, you know, brought us together. And it's a miracle story, too, that is, how God put us together. And he said this, she said, God put y'all together to bring y'all here to reach me. Now, this girl just got saved, and she said that. And, you know, Lee and I just kind of looked at each other. I got a little choked up because that's exactly what happened. God has put us together to be used for him. Amen. And we want to sing. This is a song that we feel like is perfect. Amen. For when you're going through your heartaches and things like that. Yeah.
Their chains were fastened tight down at the jail that night. Still Paul and Silas would not be dismayed. They said, it's time to lift our voice, sing praises to the Lord. Let's prove that we will trust him, come what may. God wants to hear you sing. When the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts surround you, when despair is all you see,
God wants to hear your voice. When the wisest man has spoken,
he said your circumstances as hopeless as can be.
That's when God wants to hear you sing.
Cheerful days, when the pleasant times outweigh the bad by far. But when suffering comes along, and we still give Him songs, that is when we bless the Father's heart.
God wants to hear you sing. When the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts surround you, when despair is all you see, God wants to hear your voice. When the wisest man has spoken, he said your circumstances as hopeless as can be. That's when God wants to hear you sing.
Cheerful days, when the pleasant times outweigh the bad by far. But when suffering comes along, and we still sing in songs, that is when we bless the Father's heart. God wants to hear you sing. When the waves are crashing around you, when the fiery darts surround you, when despair is all you see, God wants to hear your voice. When the wisest man has spoken, he says your circumstances as hopeless as can be. That's when God wants to hear.
Amen. Thank you, man. Sing another one? Oh, my goodness. What's that? Yeah, we sing. This is practice now, brother. Amen. Amen. We're just family. Let's have a singing. Amen. And, My voice is all rough because I've been preaching, amen, and I've preached a lot here lately, so let's see. Yeah, that's good.
When I think of all the many times I've been spared pain and misery, even when I played the fool, your unseen hand was there protecting me. Though I've had my share of troubles, I must confess to this reality. When I look back on my yesterdays, I have to raise my hands and say, Lord, you've been good to me.
You've been good to me,
and I just want to thank you. You've been good to me, Lord, and I just want to praise you. You came for me when I was astray. Took me back, all my sins forgave. I just want to thank you.
You've been good to me.
You promised, Lord, if I confessed, all my sins, forgiveness would be mine. And faithful to your promise, you cleansed the sin that left the stain behind. Just like it never happened, you held me in your arms so tenderly. Assured me of your mercy, restored me completely. Lord, you've been good to me.
You took me back, all my sins forgave,
and I just want to thank you. You've been good to me. You've been good to me.
Amen. Thank you, sweetheart. Amen. Boy, God's good, isn't he? Amen. We serve a wonderful God. Amen. And thank you, sweetheart. I tell you what, she's so good, she can make anybody sound good. Amen. And I just kind of hoarse tonight and I've been preaching a lot, boy, just a lot. And just, God's been good. Amen. Been seeing a lot of people saved and revival and boy, it's just been a blessing, amen. And I don't know about you, but I'm just thankful, amen. I'm just thankful I get to serve the King of Kings, amen, the Lord of Lords, how many of you glad you're saved tonight, amen? How many of you glad you're not in jail tonight, amen? Amen. I mean, it just got out. Don't raise your hand on that. Rick just got out. Amen. And I was preaching at Clyde Acres Church, and Brother Clyde has he's like a mentor to those in the jail. He has he got a special permission where he can bring them out. You know, I'm not talking about the murders and stuff, but people that have done some, you know, wrong things. And he's like a mentor, and they'll let them out for a couple hours, you know, to come to church. And Brother Clyde works with them. And I said that, and that old boy raised his head and said, yeah, I just got out, and I got to be back by 9, amen. And everybody died laughing, amen. But it's a blessing here. I want to read something to you. Preachers are always giving me stuff. You know, I'm not a computer person. I'm just not into computers. And some people love that Facebook mess, but I don't. Amen. I don't care about it. But preachers always give me stuff. And a preacher gave me this in a print off, you know. It goes like this. It says, this 85-year-old couple, having been married almost 60 years, had died in a car crash. And they had been in good health the last 10 years, mainly due to the wife's interest in health food and exercise. Well, when they reached the pearly gates, St. Peter took them to their mansion, which was decked out with a beautiful kitchen, a master bath suite, and a jacuzzi. And as they oohed and awed, the old man asked Peter, how much all this was going to cost me? Well, and Peter replied, it's free. He said, this is heaven. This is heaven. And next they went out back to survey the championship golf course that the home was backed up to. And they would have golfing privileges every day. And each week the course would change to a new one representing great courses on earth. The old man asked, what are the green fees here? Peter replied, this is heaven. You play for free. Next, they went to the clubhouse and saw the lavish buffet lunch with the cuisines of the world laid out. An old man said, "How much to eat? How much it cost to eat here?" And he said, "Don't you understand yet? This is heaven." Peter replied with some exasperation, "Well, where are the low-fat and low-cholesterol tables?" And the old man asked timidly. And Peter explained, "That's the best part. You can eat as much as you like of whatever you like, and you never get fat and you never get sick. And this is heaven." And with that, the old man went into a fit of anger, throwing down his hat, stomping it, shrieking wildly. And Peter and the man's wife both tried to calm him down, asking, "What is wrong with you? What is wrong?" And the old man looked at his wife and said, "This is all your fault. If it wasn't for them blasted bran muffins, I'd have been here 10 years ago. Amen? Amen? Amen. And that's about what you women do to us. Amen. You ruin us. Amen. But it's a blessing. Amen. And you heard about the old boy. You heard about the lady that went into a store. She just moved to the neighborhood, and she walked in the store, and they had a parrot in a cage there. And the parrot lady walked in, looked at the parrot in the cage, and the parrot said, "You are ugly." Said, "You are ugly," like that. Well, the woman got offended, and she walked out. Well, she came back, and she looked at, went to that parrot again, and looked at that parrot next day, and the parrot said, "You are ugly. You are ugly." And boy, she was really getting offended, you know. Well, she came back a couple of days, and she walked up that cage, maybe he won't say it again. And that parrot looked at her and said, "You are ugly. You are ugly." Well, she just had enough. So she goes to the manager, and she tells that manager, that parrot told me I was ugly and offended me and everything. And the manager said, "I'll take care of that parrot." He goes up to that parrot and said, "Let me tell you something. Next time you do that, you're going to be parrot soup. Going to be parrot soup if you say anything to that woman." Well, by the next day, too, that woman came back out. She walked up the cage on purpose to see what that parrot would say. That parrot, she looked at that parrot in that cage. The parrot looked at her, and that parrot went, you know, baby, you know, amen. Well, you know, amen. And the Lord, I hear all kinds of stuff. Baby. Hey, I got one more. Let me tell you, though. I could tell you 100. Preachers always telling these joke stuff, you know. You heard about the Texas boy come up to North Carolina. He came up to North Carolina, and they were riding in his truck, this North Carolina boy's truck. And about that time, a deer jumped up and run across the road. And the Texas guy said, "What was that?" North Carolina boy said, "Well, that's a deer." He said, "A deer?" He said, we got deer 10 times bigger than that. That looked like a phone compared to our deer. You know, everything bigger in Texas. Well, by that time, they were riding along, and a rabbit jumped up and ran across the road. He said, "What is that?" I said, "What is that?" He said, "That's a rabbit." He said, "Rabbit?" He said, "Man," said, "we got rabbits, jackrabbits 10 times. That's like a flea." I said, "That wasn't nothing." Well, the old Caroline boy's mad now. He's mad. Well, by that time, a big old snapping turtle come crawling across the road. He said, "What is that?" Caroline boy said, "That's a tick." Amen. 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 He got him, didn't he? Amen. He ain't messing with Carolina folks. Amen. But anyway, it's a blessing to be here tonight. And boy, I sure appreciate, you know, your preacher. Love your preacher. What a great man of God he is. Amen. And boy, I love you, preacher, and thank God for him. Thank God for him. And you can't go wrong by loving your preacher. You can't go wrong by loving your preacher. And he's just down to earth, loves the Bible, loves God, loves you. Amen. And I thank God. He came over some, worked on her cabin, helped me. And, you know, what a blessing that was. And I thank God for you, preacher, there. I want you to, tonight, we're going to go back tonight to Acts chapter 16. Boy, I can't emphasize enough this matter of prayer. You know, all our fears are prayer fears, I'm afraid. Can I have amen? I believe all our fears in our life result from prayer fears. If you fail to pray, you might as well plan to fail. Amen. And I mean that. Because we can't do it without God. We can't do anything without God. You can't even breathe without God. Did you know that? You can't even breathe without God. He controls every breath you take. And so tonight, I want to bring this message back tonight on what happens when you pray. And we saw in the scripture where Paul and Silas were bounded. We're bound. And by the way, every one of us is, you can be bound by something. Can I have amen? It might be your finances. It might be your family. It might be, you know, it might be just some mental battles you're bounded by. It might be your children. Amen. Might be your loved ones, your grandkids. Some of you are sitting here tonight and there's something that's got you bound. It's got you bound. That you can't do a thing about it. You can't do anything about it. I mean, I look at, you know, even teenagers are bounded by something. It might be sin. Can I have amen? It might be sin. There might be sin in your life that's got you bound tonight. But something can, there's a lot of things in this world can bind you tonight. That all you can do is pray. All you can do is pray. And Paul and Silas were bound in this jail. But the good thing about it is they knew the most important thing was to pray. And they started praying. They started having a prayer meeting. And they started praying. Because they knew we're in trouble. We're in trouble. I don't know what we're going to do. But then God got in that thing. And, buddy, they started praising God and started shouting amen and praying and singing praises to God. That's what the verse said. Look in verse 25 we read this morning. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and what? Sang praises unto God. We just sang that song. Amen. You know, God wants to hear you sing. You say, well, I can't sing. Well, that's all right. God still wants to hear. And He wants to hear you sing praises to Him. And the Bible said, and I said, there's going to be some things going to happen when you pray. Now, folks, God knows that we need some more prayer warriors. We need some more people that are going to get down to serious business about prayer. Well, the Bible said, and I said this morning, first of all, you start singing praises to God when you pray. Then I said, number two, people see and hear the peace of God in your life. Some of you, if you wasn't in here today, when you start praying and you start praising, people start seeing that on your facial. They're going to see your countenance change. Can I have amen? That's why in Ephesians 5:18 it says, and be not drunk with wine, which says, but be filled with the Spirit. Because when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you know what's going to happen? Verse 19 is going to kick in. You know what verse 19 is? Speaking to yourself psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Amen. And you're going to sing praises to God. You're going to be thankful. And then kicks verse 20, being thankful for all things. Can I have amen? Hey, you only can do that when you're spirit-filled. And the only way you're going to get spirit-filled is pray. Can I have amen? You can't be spirit-filled without talking to God. You can't be spirit-filled without talking to God. You got to go to God and say, fill me, fill me, fill me, fill me, fill me. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, that comes through prayer. I mean, they were in an upper room praying when the power of the Holy Spirit came down on them. Amen. Yeah, look, you got to pray. You got to pray. Amen. You got to pray. Hey, D.L. Moody, I love the story about D.L. Moody where he preaching one night and afterwards two little old ladies come walking up to him and he's talking to two little old ladies and he's told them, he said, ladies, what'd you think about the service tonight? And they looked at Mr. Moody and they said, well, Mr. Moody, it was a good service, but if you'd have had the power of God, we'd have had a lot more people saved. And he looked at him. He said that. Those two little old ladies said that, D.L. Moody. Well, D.L. Moody got a little offended by that. And he said, well, ladies, if you want me to have the power of God, why don't you go home and pray? So they did. They said, we will. Them two little old ladies went back and prayed all night long for the power of God on Dr. Moody, D.L. Moody. He went back the next night. They had a few more saved. And he said, and Brother Moody saw them two little ladies, made a beeline for them after service. He said, ladies, what do you think about the service tonight? They said, oh boy, it was good, preacher. But he said, boy, if you'd have really had the power of God, I think we'd have seen more. And finally, Mr. Moody got so mad at them two little old ladies. He said, well, let me tell you something. You go back and you beg God and don't even come back. He was a little upset about it. And he said, until you prayed down the power of God on me. That's what D.L. Moody said. Next week, it's like a week or two later, he's walking down the streets of New York City and the power of God fell on D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody, that he literally had to go to a friend of his and beg him for a motel room. I mean, got a motel room from a friend, and for 3 days and three nights, he begged God to take it off of him before it killed him. Can I have amen? Hey, what would happen if we start praying? Amen? What would happen if you say, well, I don't know what's wrong with our church. Maybe it's because you're not praying for the power of God on that man of God. Amen? And you start praying, God's going to do something. God's going to do something. Amen? God can do it. And so we see that and people are going to see the peace of God. And then I said this morning, things get shook up when you pray. I said, things get shook up when you pray. God knows our churches need a shaking. Amen. Folks, I go in churches dead as a morgue. It's sad. Can I have amen? I go in churches dead as a morgue. I've never seen, you know, man, nobody's excited about their salvation. Nobody's excited about going to heaven. Amen. And all that. Don't care if people go to hell or not. Don't care if people go to hell or not. They're all worried about their own self and their own problems and their own difficulty. And there's a world dying and going to hell. I said there's a world dying and going to hell. And if anybody ought to care, it ought to be God's people. It ought to be God's people. Amen. I guarantee you, if I was like the police or FBI tonight and lined you up against that wall, I wonder if you'd even have gospel tracts on you. Is this thing working? Can y'all hear me? I wonder if I checked you and frisked you just like they do the police do, amen, could I even find gospel tracts on you? Hey, you know what? You want to be carrying gospel tracts on you, amen? You want to be carrying, hey, look, when you're filled with the Spirit of God and you're praying and walking with God, those things come natural, amen? They just come natural to you. Let me say this, that things get shook up when you pray. Let me say it's number four. I said this morning, number four, but I kind of jumped the point because I wanted to go on and finish this morning, then I'll jump back. But I said, number four, God would loosen the bands off of you. Can I have amen? God will loosen the bands off of you. There's nothing like when you feel the freedom and liberty of God. I tell you, when the Spirit of the Lord is on you, you feel liberty. Amen? Boy, I've been in churches, buddy. I felt God come down. I felt God come down, buddy. I preached in church. I was just down in Georgia, just raising God turned loose in there. I was in a Spanish church. They don't even understand what I'm saying, and I don't understand what they're saying. And God came down in that place. God came down in that place. And families were getting right with God, and thank God broke loose in there. Can I have amen? Hey, you know what? God can bring liberty. God can bring freedom. Amen. God can bring the Spirit of the Lord in a place that unbelievable. Don't you want that? Don't you want to see God do something? Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to see God do something. And the only way that's going to come is by prayer. He said it only come by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Amen. You know, we live in a nation that's glutton. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. We're living in a nation that now I like to eat too. I understand. But we're living in a nation, buddy, you need to go to Haiti with me. You need to go to the Philippines with me. You need to go to some of these poor countries, buddy, where we just gave them a little piece of bread and about that much coffee. And they were happy. That's all they had all day long. Are y'all with me? But we can't even fast 1 hour. We can't even pray. Boy, it's quiet in here. But that's why you ain't going to see God do a thing in your church until you get down to serious prayer and fasting, amen, and believing God. And believe in God. And the Bible says here we see that those things with freedom and liberty there will come. And then let me say this, number five. Look in verse 26. The Bible says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that foundation of prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open. All the doors were open. You know, when's the last time you've seen God open a door in your life? I said, when is the last time you saw God open a door in your life? Did you know when you pray, God will open doors? I said, did you know when you pray, God will open doors? God will open doors and show you things that you never believed that He could do. Can I have amen? God will open doors in your life that you never dreamed. I'm gonna tell you the reason why that we're not having revival in our church life, because Christians, they're not seeing God open doors in their life. They're shut. They're locked in a room. Can I have amen? They're locked in and are not seeing God. I could stand here tonight, tell you story after story how God opened doors in my life. Amen. Because I prayed. I'm not saying that bragging. I'm just saying it works. Can I have amen? I'm just saying it works. Hey, listen, let me give you, this is a small thing, I know to some of you, but it's just one of a thousand times I could tell you God opened doors and I saw God answer prayer. My wife, we saw God open doors on our home. We saw how God, my dad gave me property and people came in and volunteered and did all kinds of things. And we saw God open doors after door after door. Well, we moved in there 3 days before Christmas. The inspector, pastor, inspector, 3 days before Christmas, then 15 people showed up for Christmas and moved in with us. Amen. I mean, we had air mattresses everywhere. We looked like a rescue mission. Amen. They were everywhere. And so, well, you know how a woman is. A woman wants to, you know, you got a new house, you need new furniture. Amen. And I told, and so my wife and I, we talked about it. I said, well, you know, honey, if we can pray in a house, we want to be able to pray in a couch, you know. And she agreed. She agreed with it. I said, let's pray in some new furniture. Let's ask the Lord to give us some furniture. She went down here to Babcock's, you know, and they had a great deal. I'm not kidding. It was an unbelievable deal. $25 a month for the rest of your life. Can I have amen? She was all excited about that, amen. And I said, no, I don't think so, amen. Let's go. Let's just pray, amen. The answer is great on prayer, amen. And I said, let's just pray and wait on. And she agreed. We did. We prayed. Her and I prayed. We started praying. About a month or so ago, maybe a little bit longer, I was preaching in Uniontown, Pennsylvania, right where my first wife got saved in that church. She was a little bus kid, and she got saved in that church. And I was preaching in that church. They asked me to come back and preach. Well, it was cold, you know, snowing and all that stuff. And we went soul winning that morning on Saturday morning. I had a few hours before I had to check in to where I was staying. So I thought, well, I'll go to the mall and I'll walk. You know, I try to get a little exercise. So I like to go to the mall and walk with the old people. Amen. And do that. When my wife goes shopping, I like to sit on the bench with the old people. Amen. With the old men. Amen. While their wives are in store. But I'm sitting there. So I'm sitting there walking. And all of a sudden, I came to a furniture store. And I walked in. I thought, well, I'll just browse in there and look around a little bit. So I walked in the furniture store, and they had the Inspirations playing over the intercom. And I thought, well, this is strange. I didn't think any Yankees were Christian. Amen, amen. And they were playing Inspirations. I thought, this is neat. They're playing Christian music. So I sit down on a $2,000 couch listening to Inspirations. And I'm sitting there. Well, finally I got up and I made my way back to the corner of that store, the scratch and dent section. I love the scratch and dent section. It's cheaper, you know. So I go back in there, and there's a man and this boy working on a chair there. Well, I just kept looking and stuff, and they glanced at me, and I glanced at them, and I passed on by them. And I went into another part of that store, the discount section, another discount section, and all of a sudden I looked in this chair, and this man walked up behind me. He said, Brother Craig Bryan. And I turned around and thought, who in the world knows me up here? And he said, you're preaching at our church tonight. I said, oh, yeah, okay. So we started talking. He said, young boy noticed you when you walked by a while ago. I said, okay. So we got talking a little bit, and finally he said, you like that chair? I said, yeah, I like that chair. I said, he said, well, sit in it. Well, I sit in it, but my feet hung way off. I didn't like it. He didn't like it neither. He said, well, did you see any furniture out there on the main floor that you like? Oh, yeah, I saw furniture out there. But I had walked by the one I knew my wife liked, and it was about $3,000, and I just passed on by. Well, he said, let's go look at it. So we go over there, and we're looking at this furniture. And I looked at it. And I said, well, this is it right here. This one she likes. He said, take a picture of it and send it to her. So I said, well, I know she's going to like it. He said, send it. So finally we were standing there talking. I said, well, listen, my wife texted me back and said she liked this furniture. I said, what's the best price you can give me on this furniture? And he looked at me and he said, well, I know the owner. And he started smiling. He was the owner. I didn't know it, but he was the owner. And he said, I tell you what, I'll call my wife and we'll see what the best price we can give this to you, you know. And he said, I'll just give it to you tonight at church. So that night we get to church and I preached. And after church, he walked up and gave me a sticky note, one of those little sticky notes. And on it, he had knocked the price down from about $3,000 to about $2,100. Well, that was still too much for me. So it ended up, he said, when you get a chance, look at it good. So when I got a chance, I pulled that note out, and where the price was at, $2,100, it said over, turned the note over. I turned the note over, and it said free, paid in full. Amen, paid in full. I called my wife. She was so excited. I was too. I didn't have to pay Babcock, amen, the rest of my life. But you say, Brother Brian, why are you telling us that? Because when you pray, you see God open doors. What's the chances that God would put me in the town that my wife, my first wife, got saved in. Amen. And give us furniture. And she's probably up there now saying, why didn't you pray me in some new furniture? Amen. Amen. And she's probably saying that now. But the truth of the matter is that's just a little bit you get to see. You get to see God open doors. You get to see God open doors. Can I have amen? I mean, you get to see God just like that girl that got saved today. Amen. God opened a door for us to be there at that time. You get to see God open doors and meetings and revivals and God use you. Amen. You get to see God open doors. But you'll never see it until you learn to pray. Amen. And I'm trying to get you to see that no wonder your Christian life's not exciting. I'll tell you what, Brother Rick, I'm having the best time I ever had. I'm seeing, it's a blessing to see God open doors. Amen. It's a blessing to see how God opens doors, provide, take care of you, lead you, guide you. Amen. And lead you to people that need to be saved and use you. Amen. Use you for His glory. And you, the only way you're going to see that is when you begin to pray. Amen. You begin to pray. And then let me say this. Let me say it. Not only will you get to see God open doors, but listen to this right here. The next thing you're going to do, look in verse 27. Look in verse 27. And the keeper of the prison waking out of his sleep. You see that? The prisoner. He woke up out of his sleep. You know what happens when you pray? People wake up. Can I have amen? Boy, people wake up. You start seeing God do something. And boy, we got a bunch of sleeping people in our churches today. They're just sitting there relaxing. And buddy, I'll tell you, we don't know what it is to be persecuted. We don't know what it is to be beaten our head. You know, there's more Christians being killed today probably than ever before? Did you know that? In the name of Allah. Is everybody with me? They just don't put it on television. They don't put it on television. But it's out there. It's happening all the time. Right now, there's probably Christians being killed. There's Christians being killed. And you know what? But problem is, we don't have persecution like we in America, and everybody's just sleeping. They're sleeping. Everything's going good. Everything's going wonderful. You know, every once in a while you might mention Jesus' name, amen, about something. But the truth of the matter is, we need awakening, amen. We need awakening in our churches that need to wake up, amen. Wake up, amen, and get busy for God and start winning souls and bringing people to God, amen. We need awakening tonight. And the only way it's going to happen is when people get serious about prayer. About prayer. You see, the disciples couldn't even pray with him. They fell asleep. They couldn't even pray with him. And I beg you tonight to pray for a great awakening. Amen. Every great revival that ever broke out was because a few people got together and started praying. Can I have amen? I mean, they started praying. They started praying. They started getting together and started praying. And great revival broke out. Right? Hey, I wonder if we're dead serious about this thing. I wonder if we're dead serious about it. Oh, my goodness. The greatest prayer warriors I've ever seen were young people like this. What would happen if you decided, I'm going to get serious with God. And I'm going to start praying. And I'm going to start begging God to do something in my church. I'm going to start praying, begging God to do something. I was at a church just recently, and I preached this message, and there was some people in that church. It was just dead when I walked in there, and all of a sudden, they started getting a hold of this thing on prayer. They started getting serious about it. And then one fella called another fella called another fella, and next thing you know, they start gathering and having special prayer meetings. And boy, I'm telling you what, God got in that place. God got in that place. And until we have a great awakening of revival, it's only going to come through the brokenness of a prayer. And on their people on their knees begging God, pleading with God to bring this our churches back awake. Amen. We need our pulpits back on fire. We need our churches back on fire for God. Amen. And winning souls. And then let me say this. Here's what's going to happen when you pray. People fear God when they see God in answer prayer. Look in verse 28. Look what the Bible says in verse 28. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And then he called for a light. And by the way, he was trembling. The Bible says he was trembling. Can I have amen? And then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. What is it going to take for God to get you to pray? Can I have amen? What is it going to take for God to get you to really get serious about prayer? I mean, when's the last time you trembled before God? Amen? I mean, come to God and say, God, I need you, God. I need you, God. And because God, because something happened that shook you up and that you put fear back in God again. There's no fear of God. There's no fear of God in America. I was down in Louisiana preaching at a church that was actually in the swamp. It was actually in the swamp. The church was on telephone poles, cut off telephone poles, right in the swamp. We got in a boat and drove up to the church, airboat. It was fun. Amen. It was pretty neat. And matter of fact, we got a picture made with the swamp people. Amen. And when I was down there before, and got a gator head with a signature on it. Amen. They're heroes of the faith, amen. And I was down there, and how many of you ever seen that swamp people? You ever seen that? Yeah, y'all seen Willie and Junior and all them? That's who it was with. But anyway, I went down there this time by myself. Was preaching, actually in the swamp, and them Cajun folks, you know, they're different. Different brand. Love God. Those people love God. The preacher said, "I want you to go visit this guy." He said, "Buddy, I'm telling you, he's mean." He said, "I'm gonna tell you, he's got about 20 pit bulls in his yard. Got about 20 pit bull dogs in his yard." And he said, I want you to go visit this man." Now he didn't say he's going with me. He wasn't gonna go in. He said, "I'm going to stand outside the fence." I thought, man, that's some preacher of faith there, amen. But he said, "I'm telling you, these dogs, they just mean looking. And every time I go over there, man just says, don't come in the fence there, don't come in. Them dogs eat you up." Well, I get there, and sure enough, we walk up to the door at the gate. And right about the end of this auditorium, or back of this auditorium, that's about how far it was. I looked down there, that sidewalk, and on both sides were pit bulls. And I'm telling you, he had more than 20 of them, too. There was more than 20 there. Them dogs looked like they would eat you up. But some of them were loose, too. Some of them were loose. Well, I walked up the gate, and the man said, "Hey," he said, "get out of here." Like that. He screamed and said, "Get out of here, preacher." He knew the preacher. He said, "Y'all get out of here." And the preacher said, well, "Brother Alex," I think it was his name, "Brother Alex." He said, "Brother Alex," said, "we come to see you. We come to see you." And he said, "Preacher, you already been out here." He said, you know, "I don't want anything to do with church and God and all that." I mean, he said it right there. He flew off a couple cuss words, you know. And finally, so I said, "I'm coming in, see you." I said, "I drove all the way from North Carolina, and I'm coming to see you." He said, "No, you ain't." He said, "No, you ain't." I said, oh, yes, I am. I said, I'm coming in there. He said, well, you better pray. I said, I will. I said, I'm going to pray right now. So I started praying. And I said, God, I pray. Now, Lord, I come all this way from North Carolina to win this old boy to the Lord. I said, he needs it. Now, God, I'm praying right now. Do you give every one of these dogs lockjaw right now? I said, God, lock their jaws. Well, that guy about that time, he said, he brought it out. And he said, oh, you don't need to pray that. Said, get out of here. Said, quit praying that. And then he started hollering while I was praying. And I said, and God, I pray right now, I pray that you just eat this man's mouth up with cancer and take half his jaw out, God, because he won't listen to you, Lord. And all of a sudden that man said, whoa, 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 whoa. He said, whoa. And he stopped me like that. Said, whoa, whoa, whoa. He said, don't pray that. I said, well, I'm coming in. And I said, if you don't quit, I'm going to pray God will eat your mouth up. And boy, that guy got real quiet, looked at me. And Brother Rick, I walked down that sidewalk and them dogs started wagging their tails just like that. I never seen like, even a couple came up and let me pet them. I was praying, thank you, Lord, amen. Thank you. And I walked up to those steps and took my Bible and showed that man how to get saved. And he was like a lamb. And I led him to Christ. Now, wait a minute. When I got done, listen to this. When I got done leading that man to Christ, he said, let me tell you something, preacher. He said, you know what got me? I said, what? He said, when you talked about God give me cancer in the mouth, take half my jaw out, he said, that's what happened to my daddy. He said, God gave my dad cancer. They had to cut half his jaw out. And I was afraid God was going to do the same to me. How did I know? Can I have amen? How did I know that his daddy had the same thing happen? But I'm telling you what, but the fear of God came on that old boy. Can I have amen? And you know what we need? We need fear back in America. Amen? We need the fear. Young people, you say, oh, I'm not scared of God. You better get scared of God. Amen? I'm telling you what, that God, buddy, he is almighty. He's all powerful. He can do anything he wants. Amen? He is God. He is God. Buddy, I'm telling you, I've seen kids, young people like this wrapped around telephone poles and trees and everything because they spit in God's face. And I guarantee you that, buddy, God's got a way of getting your attention. Can I have amen? But we need to pray. We need to pray and have that consciousness, that fear, that respect of God. Amen. That God can do it. God can do anything he wants to do. And we need to come to God, believe in God. Amen? And praying. So when you pray, you'll see the fear of God. And then let me say this. Listen to this. Last of all, let me say this. When you pray, you're going to see people get saved. I said, when you pray, you're going to see people get saved. We see in the Bible here that, and brought them out, Bible says verse 30, and he brought them out, of course, of the jail, said, sirs, what must I do? The jailer said, what must I do to be saved? Amen? Boy, he's ready to be saved now. He's ready to be saved. Why? Because they remember, there was nothing they could do, so what did they do? Pray. Amen? They prayed. And he said, listen to what he said, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus. Thank God they didn't say be baptized, amen, or join the church or do all that. Said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Buddy, I'm telling you what, because of that one prayer meeting, that everybody in jail got saved, amen, the jailer got saved, all his family got saved because of a prayer meeting. Because of a prayer meeting. God knows that you say, well, I wish we could see more people saved. Are you praying? Amen. Are you praying that God will get more people saved? It's amazing what happens when you pray. Amen. It's amazing how God can save sinners. How God can save sinners when you pray. I went to Haiti, and when I was up in Haiti, I was with Biz LaReese. Brother Biz LaReese has been there for years and years. He's built churches and he's been in jail. They about killed him several times. His wife, they almost killed her one time, and they put her in jail. I mean, they're just cruel. They can be really cruel people. But he loves those people. He loves Haiti. He's got a church in Dominican Republic now. He's got another church going to Dominican Republic. Got a church in Haiti, pastoring both of them, going back and forth, pastoring those churches. When I was there this past September, we were there, it was over 100 degrees. It's over 100 degrees. I was preaching three times. Well, I would preach from 7 o'clock in the morning till noontime teaching. We had about 50 pastors, 40-50 pastors come that he just invited. Some of them wasn't Baptists. Some of them wasn't Baptists. He just invited them to come. And half that morning we teach doctrine. We would teach doctrine on the blood and eternal security. I mean, you can't be a soul winner if you don't have those things down. Amen. So we taught doctrine. Then the rest of the day, the rest of the morning, we teach soul winning. And then after that, we go out soul winning. And we went all over the place preaching and winning souls. And even a couple of them went into voodoo colleges preaching, and they got fired up. Amen. But some of them never won a soul in their life, and they got trained. We trained them how to win souls. That night we come back, building that holds about 150, 200 people, packed out with over 1,000 Haitian people. They're in the windows, they're everywhere, it's hot. We didn't have his vehicle broke down. I rode on the back of motorcycles with an 11-year-old kid driving. You talking about faith? That's faith. I was in the back of like a little Toyota truck with about 50 Haitian people. Every one of them had machetes. Every one of them had machetes. And they're looking at me and I'm looking at them. You know, I was praying, Lord, I hope they don't like white meat. Amen, amen. And I was just praying, amen. And it's hot. Boy, hot. I changed clothes 3-4 times a day. Soaking wet, soaking wet. Then on top of that, I got sick, and it was just pouring out of me, pouring out of me. I was dehydrated, but I was preaching as hard as I could go, hard as I could go. We were seeing hundreds and hundreds and not thousands of people coming to the Lord. But I'm saying all this that Brother Biz said, Preacher, I want you to go with me, and I got a man that I've been witnessing to for 5 years now. His wife was a voodoo witch. She was a voodoo witch, and she got saved, and she's in her choir now, sings in her choir. And he said, but her husband's very, very evil man. He's murdered people. He's killed people. And he said, I tell you, when you see him, he's demon. He said, I almost think he's demon-possessed. He's the most evil man I've ever met in my life. So we went. We went and we get to this little hut. We finally get to this place where they lived. And he's got a big high fence around there. It's like barbed wire type fence, you know. And we get up there and I get up there and we start, you know, Brother Biz starts witnessing to him. He starts witnessing to this man. By the way, he was right. His eyes were dark black. They looked evil. I couldn't even hardly look him in the eyes. He looked so evil. Well, Brother Biz went in to where he lived on his yard there, and Brother Biz told me to stay out here with another family that goes to his church. Well, they got me a little plastic chair, and I'm sitting in that chair, and he's witnessing this man, and they're going back and forth, Creole language. They're going back and forth, just going at it with each other. You could tell he was arguing with Brother Biz. Well, I got to looking at that man, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit broke my heart for that man. And I got to thinking that unless that man gets saved, he's going to go to hell. And the Holy Spirit told me to do something. By the way, it helps you to listen to the Holy Spirit. And I heard the Holy Spirit. I know not an audible voice, but a small, quiet, still voice. I heard the Holy Spirit say, get out of your chair and pray. Get on your knees and pray. So I listened to the Holy Spirit, and I got out of my chair, and I got down on my knees just like this. I got down on my knees, and I began to pray, and tears began to fall. I remember tears began to fall as I prayed for that dear man. Matter of fact, I got a picture on my phone where those people grabbed my phone and took a picture of me down on my knees praying. And a Brother Biz witnessing to this guy. And all of a sudden, that man got up. He was arguing the whole time, brother. He stopped. He stopped. He got up out of his chair and he walked over to that fence, the edge of his yard, and looked over that fence at me on my knees, and he just stared. He just stared. And all of a sudden, he started stepping back. And Brother Biz told me what he did. He started stepping back like this and just looking, kind of looking like this. And he went back and he sat down in his chair and never said another word. And Brother Biz took the Bible and gave him the gospel, and he got saved right there. He came that night. I baptized him. I baptized him at church. He came. He had the longest machete I've ever seen. But he had a long machete, brought it to church. And I'm glad he did, because there were some kids misbehaving. And he took that machete out during the church service and tapped one on the shoulder. And that kid turned around. He didn't say a word the rest of the service. Amen. But that man, I baptized him that night. But he gave a testimony at church that night. He said, what happened was, he said, when I saw that white man came all the way from America and got on his knees, and I saw that white man get down on his knees and pray for me, I knew he loved me. And God got a hold of my heart. And he said, I got saved. I got saved. You say, Brother Brian, what are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you, I didn't even know his language. I'm trying to tell you, I didn't even know how to get through the walls of that evil man. But when I prayed, God did it. Amen. God saved that old boy. Amen. And I'm telling you why. You say, well, we live in a time nobody wants to be saved. That's a stinking lie. Amen. You know what we need to do? We need to pray that God will break those walls down. Amen. So that people come to God. Amen. And I'm telling you, God will save sinners when you begin to pray. I think about this, and I'm done. I had about 3 days left at Haiti. I had about 3 days left, and I was totally wiped out. I mean, I'm not going to go in detail, but I was flowing. Y'all know what that means, right? I was flowing. And I was dehydrated. And we were getting up like 4:30 in the morning, because it'd take us a couple hours riding on back of motorcycles and back of trucks, getting to the church and places there, St. Mark and everywhere. And the 3 days before I was getting ready to get up, I couldn't get up. I could not get up. And I mean that. I was laying in that bed, over 100 degrees, no air conditioning, no electric. Nothing. And I'm laying there, and I'm dehydrated. And I'm laying in that bed, and I'm thinking, oh, God, I'm not going to make it. My whole body was hurting. I was laying in that bed, and I said, I'm going to have to call Brother Biz and tell him. Put me in a wheelchair. Put me on a stretcher. Whatever you got to do, haul me to the airport. Put me on an airplane and send me home because I can't make it anymore. And I was laying there in that bed. I was laying there trying to get up. I was actually trying to get up, and I couldn't. My whole body was hurting. And as I laid in that bed, I was literally broken there. And I said, Lord, I need help. And I began to pray. I'm trying to find that letter there. And I began to pray, and I said, God, please, please give me strength. Give me strength, God. And when you don't know what to do, you see what I'm saying? When you don't know what to do, you pray. You pray. And so I'm laying there, and all of a sudden I reached down and grabbed my Bible, and I turned to Mark 15. I just opened my Bible, Mark 15, and I had a light with my phone. And I turned that light on because I had no light in that room. And I turned my light on, and I opened to Mark 15, and I began to read Mark 15, where it's talking about the crucifixion. And I saw what they did with my Lord. I saw how they beat him. I saw how they crucified him. And I said, Lord, you felt every pain I've ever felt. I felt so weak, Brother David. I felt like I couldn't raise a pinky up. And I mean that. And I said, Lord, you felt every pain I've ever felt, God, when they crucified you. And so I reached over and I grabbed a piece of paper. I grabbed a piece of paper and took my ink pen out. And I said, God, I'm not a poet. I don't write poems. You heard the one I quoted this morning to my wife. I don't write poems and things like that. But for some reason, I felt urged just to start writing. Because my heart was overwhelmed of being so weak. But I felt God. I felt God was in that room. So I took my ink pen and I grabbed a piece of paper, and I didn't realize it, but it was a note where one of them had written me a note that night before, one of the Haitian people. And this is what it said. This is what the note said. It said, Dear Pastor Brain, amen, Brain, B-R-A-I-N, and I love these people that call me that, amen. But look what it says, I want to thank you, T-A-N-K, I want to thank you for coming to my people. I will never forget what you've done, and I will always, I promise, pray for you. But you helped me so much. Thank you. And I will pray for your family too every week. God bless you. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Thank you, Rolanda Aurelius. So I took that note, and I began to write on it. And as I'm laying there in my bed now with that phone light, I began to write these words. And it was just me and God. Me and God. And I wrote this. I said, Dear Lord, when I think of you and how weary you must have been, no place to lay your head or stay, nor eat, nor drink. But you still had the strength to reach one more soul that did not know. And even though you labor in prayer from sundown to sunup and your eyelids were fighting for sleep, you still had the strength to go to one more soul that may not know. So, dear Lord, when your feet were burning with pain, and because you had walked many miles through the valleys and over the mountains and through the deserts, but yet, my dear Lord,